the fifth reading this evening comes from Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 and 26. Matthew 23, verses 25 and 26. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Very glad to be here this evening. Always thankful for the opportunities that I have. I just want to express my thanks to the Hill family for hosting the family night. I think we had a great turnout, and my philosophy has always been it takes a family to raise some kids. It doesn't take a youth guy. It takes a family. That's really what it takes. And the more that I think that we stick together, the more that we watch over one another, the better off we are. And I'm so thankful for the encouraging words and great fellowship that we've had, I believe. When we look at Jesus, when I start talking to people, and to people in the domination world, some friends, atheists, whatnot, it's interesting people's perception of Jesus many times. When you talk to him and you start to break it down, well, how do you see Jesus? Well, what kind of man was he? What was he really trying to get at? And a lot of times, especially when we look out of the world, we'll hear things that I'm like, that's not the Jesus I know. That's not the Jesus I know. The Jesus that's painted many times in our society is the politically correct Jesus. The Jesus that never stepped on anyone's toes. The Jesus that never did anything wrong. The Jesus that always loved everyone, and everyone was always pleased with him. And yet, when we look at the Bible, we kind of see a different Jesus, I believe. I think we see a Jesus that was not politically correct. I think we see a Jesus that took it at individuals who were not living the lives that they should have been living. And I think one of these occasions is found in Matthew chapter 23, if you'll turn over there, please. That's where we'll spend our time. In Matthew chapter 23, I think we see Jesus going at the religious elite of the time, the Pharisees, and he really lets them have it, and he really goes after them. And yet, this is not the Jesus that we'll see many times when we talk to our friends and our family. He was taking it to the religious leaders of the day. I'm going to start in verses 23 and 24. In 23 and 24, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out the gnat and swallow the camel." Jesus really goes after him here. And in these two verses right here, what I see Jesus trying to tell him is, you're kind of focusing on the little things, but you're missing the whole point. You're missing the point. Are you missing the point of the Christian life? Are you missing the point of what it means to be a Christian? See, what they were doing is they were doing things that were appropriate in the Old Testament, tithing, giving 10%, which we know under the New Testament, that's not a commandment given to us. But they're tithing, and what they're tithing of is the mint and the anise and the cumin. All these are really small little herbs. Small little herbs, small little powder. And it says, what you're doing, Pharisees, is you're taking your time to get the 10% of this little spice. And you're taking your 10% of this little spice. And you're so meticulous, and you're focusing on these little things, and yet you're missing the weightier things of the law. Mercy, faith, these things, you're missing out because you're being so meticulous. You're missing the point. You're missing the point. He continues on in verse 24, and he says, "You strain out the gnat, but you eat the camel." Well, why is this significant? Because under the Jewish dietary restriction, both of these, they weren't really supposed to eat. They weren't supposed to eat the gnat or the camel. But it says, what are you doing, Pharisees? You're taking all your time to make sure that the gnat is drained out of your food, but then you'll go and you'll consume a whole camel. You're missing the point. You're missing the point. Do we miss the point sometimes in our Christian lives? The people around us miss the point of Christianity. I think many times, as Jesus was going throughout life, he was trying to convince people, you've missed the whole point. You miss the point of what it's all about. We can look at the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19. We probably remember that. The rich young ruler says, I've done all things. What else do I need to do? And Jesus says, you need to sell all that you have and follow me. And it says that the rich man went away sorrowful. Why did he go away sorrowful? Because Jesus was kind of poking at the idea that he was clinging on to his worldly things. Jesus was saying, rich young ruler, you missed the point. You missed the point, didn't you? You got to give rid of those worldly things. And he thought he was perfect. He thought he'd done all these things that were great. Jesus said, you missed the point. We look at the unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 18. The master forgives him of all things. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 28, the master forgives him of all things. And he uses this as a parable. What's he using it as a parable for? You're missing the point, aren't you? That God has forgiven you of all things, and yet when you've been forgiven of so much, yet you forgive so little. Jesus was using parables to tell people, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. Are you missing the point as you go throughout your life? In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29, we find that story of the wise and the foolish man. What does the wise man do? He builds his house upon the rock. And what does the foolish one do? He builds his house upon the sand. You're missing the point. Are we missing the point throughout our lives? Are we missing the point throughout our Christian lives of what God is really after us to do? In Matthew chapter 10, verses 38 through 39, it says, and he who does not take up the cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Have you lost your life for Christ? Oh, did you just totally miss that? That if you're going to follow Christ, you have to deny self and follow him. Did you miss that? Did you miss it that you have to lose your life in order to find it? Did you miss that point? Did you miss the point that we're supposed to forgive those that are around us? Have you missed all of those points that are around us? I think Jesus is constantly trying to show people that you have missed the whole point. You have missed the point. Have you missed the point of the Christian life? I fear many times when we look at our Christian lives, we feel like, you know, when the times are good, that's when I'm going to be a good Christian. But really, that's missing the point, isn't it? The whole point of the Christian life is that we do the good things when bad things happen to us. Isn't that the point of the life? Is that we are good when the times are good, but even more importantly, when the times are bad. Tribulation, persecution, when people call us names and people do things to us, when we get sick with disease and these things. Do we do good then? Or do we hide in the shadows? See, I think Jesus tried to point that out many times. In Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36, it says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. In Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36, it says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks you, and from him who takes away your good, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you do likewise to them. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them, and if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is it to you? For even sinners lend to those who receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Have we missed the point? Have we missed the point? I think Jesus is trying to point out, have you missed the point? You're just going to love those who love you? That's easy. Everyone can do that. But you as Christians are to love when you are unloved. You're to lend to the unlendable. You're to care for those that don't care for you, so on and so forth. But I think people fall in the trap. Well, I'm going to live a good Christian life when things are going good for me. But when the bad things happen, that's really when Christianity picks up. And when bad things happen to us, we still have to do good. That's what separates us. Are we like the Pharisees? Have we missed the point? Do we try to get away with just doing a few little things and missing the greater things of doing good when evil things are happening to us? Are we loving the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, as Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37 tells us? Have we missed the point as we go throughout this life? I fear sometimes we have missed the point. I think when it comes to spreading the gospel, I think sometimes we get so scared that we're going to make a mistake that we won't spread the gospel. Well, haven't we defeated the whole purpose then, haven't we? We missed the point. The point is to spread the gospel. It's not to be perfect. Doesn't mean you have all the answers in all the right situations. Doesn't mean you're going to be the perfect person that's going to win someone over every time you talk to someone. But what we do is we get so crippled because we say, oh, well, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do all the little things. I'm going to make sure I have every answer. I'm going to have every verse lined up. And then you know what happens? We never go. We never go because we've got lost in the little things and we've missed the whole point. The point is to spread the gospel. The point is not to be perfect in spreading the gospel. Have we missed the point when it comes to our giving? I think that God, you know, God doesn't need our money, does He? He doesn't need it. He'll accomplish His will whether He has our money or not. But the point is that we give. It's really more for us. It's more blessed to give than receive. And yet somehow we think that God has blessed us so infinitely, and yet we cannot give any back to Him. Have we lost the point? Have we missed the point when it comes to our lives? Have we missed the point when it comes to evangelism? Have we missed the point when it comes to giving? Have we missed the point when it comes to living our Christian lives? Have we missed the point? You know, one of my 8th grade students, of course this is pretty common with that age group, is every once in a while when I find that they complain. Well, my older brother, he's a little bit rougher than I am, and every time an 8th grade student complains in his class, he makes the assignment bigger. He just goes, oh, you want to complain? He just slaps on a little bit more, so I always bring that up to him, because we both teach 8th grade in the same county, so I know what Mr. Lancaster's doing. Well, one of my kids was complaining, and usually I hear it once, and I say, that's it, I don't want to hear it anymore. But this kid, he kind of kept pushing a little bit. He kept pushing, and he said, you know, you're pushing me. He said, these assignments are just a little too big, a little too much. And I got a little irritated, and I said, you know what? I said, I wish my job was to make your life easy. That's not my job! He missed the point, didn't he? He missed the point! The point is to go to school and learn, and my job is not to make your life easy. In fact, many times I'm going to make it hard. Because I'm going to challenge your thinking, I'm going to push you farther than you've ever been, I'm going to take you to a place that you've not been before. It's not an easy process. Missed the point. Do we miss the point throughout the Christian life? Do we miss the point that God wants our best? Do we try to focus on those little things so much that we let out those things, that we let those things go that are so important? Why are we here today? Have you missed the point? Why are you here today? See, the real value of being here is to honor and glorify God. Are you here for some other reason? If you're here for some other reason, you have missed the point. Did you come for your spouse? Did you come for someone else? Did you come for me? You've missed the point. If you did not come here to glorify and honor God, you've missed the point. Have you missed the point here today? I hope not. I fear that many people miss the point throughout their life. When they come into worship, they feel all these different things. But have you missed the point? Jesus was hard on them. He was telling those people, you missed the point, haven't you? You missed the whole point. We continue on throughout the passage, and what I want to tell you is if we miss the point, we're not going to be able to be what God wants us to be. And what God wants us to be is He wants us to be clean on the outside, but also on the inside. And that's really where He goes. Matthew chapter 23 here, and verses 25 through 28. Says, what do you scribes and Pharisees? He continues on. He says, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse inside of the cup and the dish, that outside of them may be cleansed also. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Jesus is going at him hard. What's he saying? He says, you guys look good on the outside, but he said on the inside, you've got all kinds of problems. Are we as Christians clean on the outside as much as we are on the inside? See, it's a lot easier to hide the inside. But the problem is we can't hide that from God. He talks about the cup, and he says the cup needs to be clean on the outside, yes, but he says the problem is if you have not cleaned the inside of the cup, I don't know about you, but when I take a drink, I care a little bit more about the inside of the cup being unclean than the outside. I remember when I would do hay baling with my brothers out in the field, and you know, your hands are going to get sweaty, and they get messy, and you got stuff all over them, and you grab a hold of that cup. As soon as you grab a hold of that cup, the outside's dirty, but you know what I care about? The inside. I want to make sure that inside is clean, that I'm not drinking hay, that I'm not drinking dirt. He says, you got a problem. He says, on the outside, you appear really good, but he says, on the inside, it's not looking good. In fact, he compares them to tombs. And we could get into the Jewish traditions, why they were whitewashed and whatnot. But he says, you guys are like tombs. You ever been to a cemetery? Some of those tombstones look nice and shiny. What's under those tombstones? Dead bones. He says, on the outside, he says, you look great. It looks like a tombstone. It's nice and clean. It looks nice. But he says, you know what's there? Dead bones. Dead bones. Because you're not doing the things that you should be doing. You're not clean inside and out. You're shooting for the outward, and what God's really shooting for is the inward. God cares about our hearts. God cares about our thoughts. God cares about those things, and yet those are the things that we can hide the most that we might be having most problems with. How's your mindset? Are you thinking about those things that are above, where Christ is? Are you focused on those things that in Philippians it tells us to meditate on? Those things that are just, and it goes through a whole long list. Are we focusing on those things, or is it pretty dirty on the inside? God is looking for us to be clean inside and out. You know, in the denominational world, we find a lot of individuals that look good. You know, in the denominational world, we find a lot of people carrying their Bibles. They look good, don't they? They look a lot like us. They dress like us. They might even talk like us a little bit. They might be carrying a Bible under their arm. They look good. How's the inside going? How's the inside going? Because that's what we're concerned about. We're concerned about the soul. We're concerned about the heart. How's your inside going? Because that's the part that you can hide the most, but yet Christ can see each and every day. A lot of people left looking just like us today. A lot of people went to buildings just like us today. What separates us from them? Are we listening to the words of God? Are we letting them change us from the inside out? Are we just like the Pharisees trying to put on a show? Well, we just want to look good. We just want people to think that we're good people, you know, but really, we've got a whole bunch of problems going on inside. It's kind of like someone's house, right? You know, on the outside of the house, everyone tries to keep the outside of the house looking real good. They try to thin their yard, try to make sure decorations are out. But you know what? If you get in some of those houses, they're a mess. Sarah and I teach throughout the week. Sometimes their house is a mess on Friday. Saturday's our clean day. Don't come to my house on Friday. You're not going to find anything good. Not going to find anything good. But sometimes people treat their lives that way. Well, as long as the outside of the house looks good, as long as we have the decorations up, as long as the lawn is mowed and looks nice, we're all good. You're not good in the sight of God if you're not clean on the inside and the out. Are we right in all the areas that God wants us to be? Or do we try to put on a show? Like in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, it says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching the doctrines, the commandments of men. It says, all these people are saying the right things. They say, I want to serve God. I want to worship God. And what does it say? It says, these people draw near to me with their mouth. They want to associate with God. They want to be associated with being a Christian. They honor me with their lips, but their heart, the internal part of it, they're far from me. Why? Because they're obeying the teachings of men. They're not obeying the words of God. Smiling faces tell lies sometimes. Sometimes behind a smiling face is lies. We've got to be clean inside and out. We've got to be doing the things that God wants us to do all the time. We've got to look in that spiritual mirror and see, not only externally, but internally. How do we match up with the words of God? All through college, I think it's just a particular age group. You know, everyone tries to dress nice and look nice and try to impress. You know, you can be dressed up and you can be messed up. You can be dressed up, you can look nice, you can have a good outward appearance, but on the inside, you could have all kinds of problems because of the sins that are hidden. Because you have not let the words of God affect your life, change your life. Have you started looking in that God's mirror? Have you looked in God's mirror? Have you tried to match yourself up with what God says? Or do you try to be like the Pharisees of the Bible? Do you try to be like these people who try to pretend they're alright? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Are you doing the will of the Father in all areas, in all situations? In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are seeking to establish their own righteousness, not submitting to the righteousness of God." You try to make your own way. You know, my definition of clean might not match my wife from time to time. It doesn't always match up, trust me. Does your definition of clean match God's definition of clean? And what I find is we try to make our own definition of clean. Oh, well, my own definition of clean is only if I lie a couple times. My definition of clean is only if I look at porn a few times. And my definition of, no! What are you doing? We've got to look to the words of God to find what clean is. And if we're cleaning ourselves in a way that's appropriate, that would be pleasing to God. I fear many times we have individuals, even our brothers and sisters in Christ, once they leave services, it all changes. They put on a show just for a little while. We can do a show just for a little while. And then when they go home, what do we find in the home? Do we find cussing? Do we find lies? Do we find cheating? What else could we find? Do you put on a show just for a little bit, just enough, so people think that I'm doing the right thing? But if we did a close examination, we would find there's all kinds of problems. Cheating, stealing, pornography, not loving the way that we should, not doing the things that we know that are right and just. Or do we think that we can get away with it? I think we do a lot of good things as the Lord's church, but a lot of times we just have to realize that people are always looking at us, and when we make these mistakes, it reflects on us all, because they'll say, well, they're hypocrites. And I'm not saying that we can eradicate sins out of our lives. If you go into my past, you're going to find some skeletons just like everybody else, and they're not pretty. But we've got to repent and move on. We've got to get those clean, and the only way we can get clean is through Jesus. He's going to cleanse us. But are you trying to dress up? Are you trying to put on a show? How about we stop worrying about dressing up as much and maybe show up? Let's not dress up, let's show up. Let's show up for obligations. Let's show up for the people that we love. Let's do the things that we know we need to do. Maybe let's not dress up so much and let's clean up. Let's clean up our lives. Let's get the sin out of our lives, out of our family's lives. Maybe we should spend less time dressing up and focusing on let's go up to heaven. Let's go up to heaven. A lot of people are putting on a show. The Bible warns about it in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men." Are you trying to put on a show for men? Are you trying to put on a show for everybody else? Show how righteous you are, how good you are? But yet when we start to look at the insides, we got all kinds of problems. Get your insides right. Get your heart right. That's what matters. God says if you get the heart right, if you clean the inside of the cup, everything else is going to work out. Please clean the inside, because then everything else will work out. But will you take the time? Will you take the time and dedication to do some scrubbing, to do some rubbing? Because the thing is a lot of times people will look perfect on the outside, but yet in this, it's a battlefield of sin. If you look at a woman and lust after her, that's adultery. See, we kind of have this weird thing of sin. Is if I physically do it, that's when I'm charged with sin. God says the battlefield is in your mind. The battlefield is in your mind. You have to try to get those things out. And see, I can't see that. I can't see that. I can't break down. I can't look at someone and go, you know what? They're struggling with this or that. I want to help. I want to help you as much as I can. But the thing is a lot of times you've got to acknowledge, I'm not clean on the inside. We've got to purify our minds. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. Clean the inside. The outside will take care of itself. Clean the inside of the cup. Clean the inside of the cup, and the rest will be taken care of. Number one, I think that Jesus is trying to tell these Pharisees, have you missed the whole point? Number two, if we look, and I think Jesus is trying to say, you've got to clean the inside. And the last one, I think he's trying to point out that we have got to be able to see our own faults. As we continue on in our reading in Matthew chapter 23, verses 29 through 33, it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then and measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? These were rough. Because if you don't get these things fixed, how are you going to escape hell? If you keep missing the point, how are you going to escape hell? If you don't clean the inside, how are you going to escape hell? If you can't acknowledge and see your own fault, how are you going to escape hell? They were saying, oh, we wouldn't have killed the prophet. We wouldn't have killed the prophet. We wouldn't have got mad. We would have followed the prophet. And Jesus is like, I'm not so sure about that. Not so sure. I fear that there are many people who are going to miss out on heaven because they cannot acknowledge their own faults. They cannot say, I was wrong. They cannot say, I made a mistake. They can't say, I screwed up. Can you acknowledge your fault? So it's easy to point out other people's faults, but it's hard when it comes to us and we have to look at ourselves, and many times those that are closest to us are better pointing them out than we are ourselves. But I've talked to many people over the years, and one thing I think about, it happens with all things that God tells us to do, but one thing, I'm with confession and a whole bunch of other things, but one is baptism. And I've had many people talk about their faith and how their faith is so strong in God. And sometimes I set up this thing. It's a lot of times they'll reject baptism because they said, well, it doesn't make any sense. You know, it doesn't make any sense why that would work. Well, I say, well, it doesn't matter if it makes sense to you. If that's what God said to do, that's what we need to do. And you know what I do is I try to put them in a situation in the Old Testament. I say, what would you do if you were walking around Jericho? Would you question God and say, God, you know what? I've never saw walls come down before, you know, without something hitting them, you know? I've never saw that before. So, you know what? I think if some of the people were in the situation, the walls of Jericho wouldn't have come down. They wouldn't have come down. They can't acknowledge their fault. They can't see the mistake in it. You know, I think there's some individuals, if we would take them back and we put them in Noah's time, the ark wouldn't have been built. Because they would not have the faith in God to go through with it. Because they say, I don't see the path. It doesn't make sense. I won't trust in God. Do you trust in God? You trust in God to acknowledge your own fault. Because if we try to go with this thing that we call the heart, it's going to lead you all kinds of crazy places. It's going to lead us to try to save our loved ones who have not obeyed the gospel. Our hearts are going to lead us to places where we try to welcome people in who do not preach or teach the things that the Bible teaches or preaches. Can we acknowledge our fault? Can we acknowledge our fault? A lot of times people are mad when they're confronted with their fault. But that was something that Jesus didn't stay away from, telling people their fault. It wasn't something that the apostles stayed away from. In fact, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul says, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Have you become anyone's enemy because you tell them the truth? It's not that I'm trying to hurt anyone's feelings. It's not that I'm trying to cause division. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Will you let people tell you the truth? Sometimes that's hard. You know, Kyle, you flipped up here. Said something that you shouldn't have said. Kyle, you flipped up. You did something that you shouldn't have did. Can you take that? Can you take the truth that hurt and acknowledge your fault? Or will you continue on throughout your life not acknowledging those things that are around you? See, the same message is sent out constantly. In Acts chapter 17, we have two groups. We have the Bereans and we have another group. We have the Thessalonians. And it's interesting, it's the same message that I believe Paul preaches from city to city. He preaches the same message in Acts chapter 17 and verse 5 earlier when they kick him out and run him out of town. And it's the same message that he takes the Bereans just a few verses later in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. I think it's the same message. I think the Bereans were willing to say, we could have been wrong. We could have made a mistake. And you know what they did? They searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. Do you do what you're supposed to do as a Christian? Can you be clean inside and out? Or do you let things get in your way in this life? Do you let things get in the way of your life because you focus on those small things and you miss the whole point of the Christian life? Or do you think that, you know what, I don't have any problem. I'm clean inside and out. You don't even acknowledge that you have faults. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Are you trying to serve God? Are you clean inside and out? Now we understand that God is the only one that can truly cleanse us with the cleansing of His blood, but I think a lot of times people try to stay away from their own personal responsibility. It can't be on me. I can't be missing the point, right? You could. Well, it can't be me. I'm clean inside and out. I don't have any problem. Can't even acknowledge our fault. It hurts me. Because when Jesus is going through this and He goes, woe to you, woe to you, woe to you, how many times I feel like I'm on the end of those woes. Kyle, you missed the point. Kyle, you need to clean the inside of that cup. Kyle, you better acknowledge your fault. Woe to you, Kyle, if you don't do these things. Woe to us, brothers and sisters in Christ. If we don't heed the warnings of Christ, that we don't make the adjustments that we should so that we can become Christians and do the things that God wants us to do throughout our lives. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Are you prepared? Are you clean inside and out? Through the assistance of the blood of Jesus Christ, you had better be clean inside and out. If we can help you in any way, by assisting you, by helping you come to Jesus and do those things that are appropriate, if you need the prayers of the church, if you have not become a Christian and you realize that you need that cleansing power of Jesus, we would love to assist you in any way that we can. If you subject the Lord's invitation in any way, shape, or form, we'd love to help you. Please come if you're subject as we stand and sing.